This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. He's the NFL insider for CBS Sports, and he's on Baskin and Phelps. Hello, Jason. How you
doing,
Jason. Buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Andy wants to start with a question for you.
Jason, I've thought about this question for a long time, and I've always wanted to ask you this question. And I'm trying to remember if I've ever asked you this before.
I got it. Let me. Can I guess?
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think I can name that tune in one note.
Okay.
Jason,
go.
Jason, do you hate Cleveland? How was my was that emphatic?
You got it.
So we were thinking the team in particular, not the city.
All right. So just for this week alone.
Oh, the Browns. Okay.
Do you hate the Browns?
I do not hate the Cleveland Browns.
There we go. You're on the record. How about that?
That's beautiful.
Yes. I don't think my tune will change, but you guys feel free to ask me every week. We can definitely play Name That Tune. I thought they played – I mean, look, that game, I thought they played all right. I mean, that's a tough task. Chargers fighting for their life and you know, going all the way out west and having not won in forever. I thought they battled. I was super impressed with Josh Gordon. I think I wrote about him in my Sunday column. I mean – Nate Burleson's on the show with us. You know, he's on the NFL Today, and we're in our production meetings. And, you know, obviously Nate was there for a little while and was practiced alongside Josh and still has contact with some of those guys. And, you know, he's just saying how he hears that the dude's been lighting up practice and, like, he's in the best shape ever and all that. But a lot of us are still skeptical because it's not a game. You know what I mean? And they're playing against a really good team with a really good defense and a team fighting for its life, and he hasn't played in forever. And how is that going to translate? And can he hold up for four quarters? And is a difference between getting popped around and hit, you know, full speed and whatever you do to get ready to play, you know, while you're out of the league for 2 years. And I was blown away. I mean, I thought at times he looked like he could take that game over. And now it didn't quite happen. And, you know, there's other reasons for that. And he's obviously not playing with the most accomplished quarterback in the league and yada, yada, yada. But I think his presence helped open some things up for Njoku, and you saw some splash plays, and you saw some, you know, physicality in the passing game. And Gordon looked like a guy who could run through you or run past you. So that was real. It was one of the more impressive things I've seen this season when you really look at where he's come from and how far he's been gone. And to pop it, you know, this is like you're coming in the final quarter of the season. Like you're popping your head up for the first time in 3 years in December against a team, you know, fighting for its life. And you have that kind of performance. It's pretty impressive.
Clearly looked like a top 10 NFL receiver, didn't he, Jason?
I mean, he looked like a difference maker. I mean, he looked like an absolute difference maker. And, you know, he's had, like, no accrued seasons in forever, right, because he's just been suspended. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens there and you know, what the new powers that be think of him. And I don't know what you can get for him because, you know, he slips up one time again and it's over. Excuse me. And I don't know, you know, what a long-term contract for him would ever look like because of all these other variables. But that's going to be, you know, a decision for them. And I'm sure there'd be a team or two, a contending team or two that, you know, if he does everything right between now, you know what I mean, and, like, the combine, I would think there'd be a contending team or two who, at the right price point, would say, we'll take a shot on him.
It's funny, as you describe the story, all I can think about is Tom Hanks in Castaway seeing Helen Hunt, his wife, after she found out he was still alive. Like, that's all I can think about. Coming back, when you think about Josh Gordon's run back to the You know, it's funny. We've said this before. It was Jamal Lewis that said this after he'd come over from the Ravens to the Browns, that the Browns, when he was with the Ravens, the Ravens would walk into every game and they would say, oh, we're playing the Browns today. They'll figure out a way to lose the game. And that's exactly how I felt again on Sunday. And I also felt like if you're trying to teach DeShone Kizer to be a better quarterback and to be a 21-year-old that's got to learn, like, I just think you, like, just – at the end of that game, when he calls a timeout and They didn't need to call a timeout and just let it play, kick the field goal. At some point, it just looks like Hugh's either overcoaching or not treating Deshaun like a 21-year-old first-year quarterback.
Yeah. Well, even some of the comments this week, I think we've been talking about this for a long time, that like they're going to draft another quarterback next year. You know what I mean? There's going to be other people in there, and they're going to want their own quarterback, and they'll trade this kid for a five or whatever they can get for him. But like the head coach doesn't need to ruminate about that now. I think he's been given like – what's the opposite of like a quarterback incubator? You know what I mean? It's almost like instead of wrapping him in some form of swaddling and trying to like mentally and physically cocoon him a little bit, and it's been like they've treated him like a human yo-yo. And again, I would never drafted him in the first place. I wouldn't have drafted – I'm not saying anywhere. I would not have done what they did at quarterback. I did not like what I was hearing about his short and long-term prospects through everybody I talked to through the evaluation process. I'm not sitting here saying Deshaun Kizer is the end-all, be-all. But it's almost like they'd go out of their way to undermine him at times. I mean, just with all this – I mean, the McCarron thing, we don't have to rehash it all. You guys have seen it week in, week out. But even making him the starter when they did, and then, you know, being so wishy-washy on him as soon as they did, and then benching him for two different cats, and then, man, like, just you may not win a game this year. Just let this kid play and let him learn, and, you know, maybe he will lead you to a win. I mean, him against Trubisky, that's the one, man. I mean, that's the shot. I don't think you're beating the Packers with everything to play for. They know they got to survive one more game, and then, you know, Batman's showing up, you know, in week 15, and he might throw up the bat signal and lead them to the playoffs. So I don't think they're going to let up. They know they got to survive one more game with Hundley, and then they get, you know, the best player on the planet back. I think it's Chicago, man. That's the one chance. And just let this kid play and let him cut it loose. And they'll probably only let Trubisky throw the ball 12 times over there because they're scared to death and everybody's worried about being fired. So just let Kizer rip it. I don't care if he – let him do what Hoyer did that one game, target Gordon 25 times. Who cares? Throw the other 15 to Njoku, see what the hell happens.
Where do you think Hugh Jackson ends up next year? You know, there's all this kind of talk, especially after the Bengals losing last night, the way they did to the Steelers, that – you know, Marvin Lewis is out. And does Hugh end up back in Cincinnati? And do the Browns end up trading him to Cincinnati? There's been a lot of wild talk today.
I don't see that. I don't see Mike Brown trading for a coach, especially a coach who could potentially be, you know, whatever, 1-31. No.
Not even for a second and a third?
What's that?
Not even for a second and a third. I'm just kidding.
No. No. You guys can hope and pray, but no. But could he be back there as a head coach or an offensive coordinator? Wouldn't shock me at all. I've been hearing that since August. So, no, that would be one of the least surprising off-season machinations if that's how that turned out.
Yeah, but Jason, is he going to be available?
I think everybody's going to be available there. Now, some may stay in some different capacities, but yeah, changes will be made in Cleveland.
How attractive will the job be then?
It depends. I mean, we talked about this months ago. What is the pitch? I mean, is it Jimmy Haslam on wounded knee? Is it we're getting out of the football business and take, you know, this is your building and we'll just write the checks and, you know, go ahead, do it. Or you know, is it some sort of half-ass search and, you know, more of the same and throwing two people together who would probably never look like it was going to work anyway, but let's just do it because it's the Haslam way or whatever. I mean, what's the paradigm? What's the power structure? You know, are we back to having a true team president who is involved in football matters, or are they going to hire someone to be that, you know, EVP of football operations and then the coach and the GM report to him? You know, there's way more questions than answers right now. I continue to hear that, you know, he's got a trick or two up his sleeve and, you know, he's trying to work on some big stuff, and we'll see if that, you know, what that means and if that comes to fruition, if he's able to put it together. Mm. But it can be. I mean, look, there's some talent on defense. Garrett's been hurt a lot, but that's obviously a potential guy who can wreck the other team most Sundays if he continues to develop. You're going to have two of the top eight picks. You know, do you if you think Josh Gordon is going to stay on the straight and narrow, you've got a potential number one receiver. I'm glad they're finally playing in Njoku more. I was very intrigued with him leading up to the draft. I know he's a little raw, whatever, but he should have been getting more snaps earlier in the season than he was. And, you know, I think he has the potential to do some things. The offensive line shouldn't be totally horrible. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you get the right competent people in there and they have a Bofo draft, maybe I feel bad. Like, as these words are coming out of my mouth, though, it's like I remember saying this after the Julio Jones trade. So, like, yeah, there's a lot of ifs and a lot of caveats, and this guy has never put the right people together. But, like, could a really good coach and a really good GM come in there and by 2019, like, you're no longer a laughing stock and, you know, maybe you're not doing what the Rams are doing this year, but, like, you're in the hunt, like, you're playing a game that matters in December or after Thanksgiving. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, but those are massive ifs. You got to find the GM, the coach, the paradigm, and the quarterback. But if you do all that, there's enough other stuff there that you're certainly not winning once in 2 years. You know, you're more competitive than that. And look, I mean, Baltimore's going to the playoffs, but that is not a special football team by any stretch of the imagination. And their last five drafts have not been very good. And they're not, you know, loaded with talent. They've had to go pay guys like Tony Jefferson $9 million a year to be a strong safety because they can't draft anybody to do it. So they're no great shakes, and the Bengals are no great shakes. I mean, so this should, you know, there's a pop. Look at the AFC. The AFC stinks. Tennessee's 8-4 with a negative scoring differential. I mean, if you watch the Tennessee Titans play and you think they're markedly, markedly, markedly better than the Cleveland Browns, I personally don't think so. I mean, they find ways to win ugly games that the Browns lose, but, like, their passing game's a joke, and the defense is marginal, but they're 8-4. Allowing 16 more points than they've scored. So, no, it shouldn't be an impossible dream, but he's got to sell it the right way, and he's got to put the right people together.
Jason Lockhand for joining us, NFL insider for CBS Sports. You mentioned Jimmy Haslam might have a big trick up his sleeve. Is a big trick Bill Cowher, John Gruden, that kind of a guy? Is that what you're thinking?
I've heard more like in terms of a team president type, or, you know, a Peyton Manning type, somebody to kind of spearhead the whole thing for him. But yeah, I mean, look, he knows Gruden through Peyton, and Peyton and Gruden are close. And I don't see John Gruden going to Cleveland in any stretch of the imagination. No, I don't think that's a fit at all. Is Harbaugh a fit? He tried to trade for him a couple years ago, was willing to trade for him, had the trade done, and then Harbaugh wouldn't agree to a contract. So, you know, is Harbaugh looking around Ann Arbor like some people tell me he is, thinking, you know what, like, if they think I'm going to be Bo Schembechler, like, nobody's going to be Bo Schembechler in this day and age, you know, with what we're competing with in this conference. Harbaugh is a guy, though, is going to want a lot of power. He's going to want a lot of control. But you could set it up that way, and it could potentially work. If you gave Jim Harbaugh this team, I don't think they're going 1-15 next year or 0-16.
Now, the Giants have started things moving, right? They blow everybody up. Does that put the Browns on a timetable if they are going to make any changes?
I mean, look, a lot of this stuff happens through back channels and sort of not, you know, not for public consumption anyway. So that stuff, the internal vetting processes and internal dialogues and reaching out to third parties and stuff like that, I mean, that goes on everywhere. But they could go, look, I mean, they could bring a Dave Gettleman or a John Dorsey or somebody like that in there today and spend 6 hours with them and interview them and wine them and dine them and formally do all that stuff. And, you know, that's why people say there's nothing to gain. Well, no, I mean, there is. Like, if you think you may hire someone who's not currently under contract to an NFL team or who's eligible to be interviewed now, but who says, boy, I'm really interested, but, man, I'm not the kind of dude who interviews for a job that's not formally open. Like, I don't want to interview for somebody's job while they're still doing it. Well, you fire your GM, and all of a sudden, well, yeah, why couldn't we get together? Why couldn't we have a conversation? So I do think they're kidding themselves by not doing it, but I understand how he's gun-shy and he's already, you know, fired so many people that I guess you want to try to do it in, you know, a standard or, you know, least showy manner as possible or whatever. But I would be – I will have seen enough. I will be sending the message to the fan base that this isn't good enough, and we've got to find another way to do it, and we might as well start doing that now.
Jace, last question for you. We've got about a minute. You know, we sit here and we talk about how the players want to be protected by the league against vicious hits. We watched last night's game between the Bengals and Steelers. Are the players on board with this? Because, you know, Jeff and I are sitting around here going, look, if they want to be protected, then why do you have plays like, you know, like Vontaze Perfect most of the time, and then Juju Smith-Schuster last night, the hit last night? It's almost like you think, are the players on board with wanting to protect themselves too?
Well, I mean, you know, the players. I mean, that's 1,750 guys at any given moment. So, you know, I think, and then we're, you know, it's a violent game, and things are happening at warp speed, and decisions are being made, and, you know, split seconds, and there's things that people do that I'm sure they'd want back, whether they admit it publicly or not. There's texts that are going back and forth from players the day after when they see things on film, and, you know, it's like, hey, bro, you know, I'm sorry. We're a family of brothers here, you know, even though we're playing a difficult game and a violent game, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I mean, there's a lot of times where guys are apologizing to guys, and it's, again, not for public consumption.
Gotcha.
You know, I the one thing I'll say about it is I'm glad the league is being much more liberal and open about doling out suspensions, because that's when you do get people's attention. And I think the next step's going to have to be two-game suspensions, because when you suspend somebody for two games, there's a pretty good chance that even on appeal, they're sitting for one. And I think sitting them is the ultimate way to not just put them on notice, but everybody in that locker room sees it as well. And, you know, I think that the New England Patriots absolutely should be playing at least one game without Rob Gronkowski because of what Rob Gronkowski did that was so above and beyond what football is about. And I think there's also a delineation between things that happen in the field in the course of a play, even if it's really dirty, and then things like what Gronk did and things like what Mike Evans did, which is out of WWF, you know, right, wrestling, and should be sanctioned as hard as, you know, as seriously as possible.
Jason, as always, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chase.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good week.
All righty. And we'll have our lead question for you ready next week.
I can't wait. I can answer it right now.
See you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, guys.
Jason LaCanfora, NFL Insider, CBS Sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.